remember as the last five psalms. They are the Hallel psalms, meaning the praise psalms. They each of them begin and end with praise the Lord, or as in the Hebrew, hallelujah. So with that said, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this. Well, Father, we do praise you. We honor you and we thank you for everything that you are. And Lord, we know that it only makes sense that we would praise you and worship you. You are great. You are exalted above all things. And we want to confess that. We want to declare that here tonight, that we would understand, Lord, that we need you, that we would understand that we must submit to you, and that we would understand, again, that it makes perfect sense. And so fill us with your Spirit and help us to see your greatness tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is famous. We all know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom. Okay, so get that in your head. Now start Psalm 148. Because talking about praise, this entire psalm is devoted to the heavens and the earth praising God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Okay, so this first section is going to be all about the heavens praising God. And so, from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Oh, by the way, remember, this is Hebrew poetry, which means that each verse, for the most part, but not in every case, but each verse is one thought, and then it says the same thought, but in a different way. And so that's what like the Hebrew rhyme is. And so you'll see it as it says there in verse 1, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, okay? The heights being the heavens. And so that thought is there. Now, it looks like this first section is telling us to praise him from the heavens, but we really can't. We're stuck here. So speaking to the heavens, and look at verse 2, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts. Heaven is filled with angelic beings. We have angels, we have archangels, we have seraphim, we have cherubim, all the different types of angels and their different responsibilities and such. And the hosts speak of, as while an angel means messenger, hosts speak of armies. And so we know that there are, as Elisha had shown his servant Gehazi, as he asked the Lord to open Gehazi's eyes, they were in a fix. I believe it was the Syrians who were bearing down on them, and Gehazi was scared, and Elisha said to the Lord, would you please open his eyes so that he can see? And there he saw the chariots of the angels just battling on their behalf. And so the psalmist here is just, these angels, by the way, being so powerful, much more powerful than you and me, saying that the angels do praise him. All the hosts of heaven praise him. Everything created in heaven that has any, life in it. We got angels, because we're going to talk about moon and sun too. And God and his word is here telling the sun and the moon to praise him as well. But as the angels who have thought, who have sight, who have all of these things, they do praise the Lord. They honor him. They bow down to him. And by the way, we are not to praise angels or worship them at all. We know that a couple of times towards the end of Revelation, the angel tells John, don't worship me. As John was compelled to worship the angel after the angel had shown him so many things, and he bowed down to the angel, and the angel threw a fit, basically. He said, don't do that. Don't get up. You worship God and God alone. And we see also in Revelation that all the angels are bowing down to the Lord and worshiping him. Now, by the way, these first four verses, I think it's easy for them to do this because they are there in the very presence of God Almighty, and there is no doubt in any of their minds that God is exalted and that God is their creator. No doubt at all. And then you might say, yeah, well, what about Satan and his little narrow-minded cronies? Well, as you read in Isaiah, you know, Satan, he refused to worship God. He wanted to worship himself, and he wanted all the worship to go toward him. And his sentence for that is hell. And I'm beginning to understand that sentence. Because when you are there in the very glory of God, in the very presence of God, and you reject it, that's just a special kind, I'm going to say it, that's a special kind of stupid. How can you be in that perfect, glorious presence to see him with your eyes, to touch him, to feel him, which you and I cannot do that? We love him, though we don't see him, we love him, and that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. But to be there with him as you and I are here with each other, you can touch each other, all that, and to say, I'm not doing it. Well, then, all right, you don't have to. You won't. I can't remember which guy said it first or who he stole it from, but people talk about going to heaven. When I get to heaven, what are we going to do there? How are we going to worship the Lord? Well, that sounds kind of boring. We're going to do that forever? Yeah, we're going to worship him forevermore. Well, I don't know. That sounds really boring. Well, there's a place where they don't worship him. All right. You don't want to go there. Anyway, so the angels worship him, and just as back to the Revelation thing, they're compelled to worship the Lord just because of his glory. And as the angels do, I think it's in Revelation chapter 4 or 5, I'm sorry, I didn't put my notes down here, Revelation 5, they say, day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then they turn to look at him again, and they do it again. Night and day, all day, holy, holy, holy. And that is their response to seeing him. And so, yes, praise him, all his angels. Makes perfect sense. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. All right, now he's looking at inanimate objects and saying, praise the Lord. The picture here is just that these are all creations of God, and these are things that God even told Israel, look, you may be compelled to look at the sun and the stars and the moon and worship them. But understand that God Almighty is infinitely greater than these things that you want to worship. As he created these things, put them in their place, he calls them all by name. And so understand that when you think about God and when you think about all creation, that all creation is in the same place you and I are in, and that is we've been created by this great, amazing being. And so they are, you know, all creation is subject to him, subservient to God Almighty. And so praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you stars. And it would just be so ridiculous to worship all the sun and the moon and the stars. It's ridiculous to do that when we know that God created them. So it would only make sense to praise God, to worship him. Verse 4, praise him, you heaven and heavens. Now, the writer here of this psalm goes out beyond the universe as you consider the heavens to be the universe and then the heaven of heavens. And we know scientists, the astronomers, they can't figure it out. They still haven't gotten to the edge of the universe. They can't find it. They don't know where it is. And they keep going out there. Well, it turns out it's a zillion more light years out there. And we haven't gotten to the edge of it. And I always wonder what's at the edge of the universe. And I came up with something this afternoon that was totally false. And after further study, I was telling my wife about it earlier. You know, you look at this and say, wait a minute, wait a cotton pick a minute. Praise him, you heaven of heavens. So heaven of heavens and the water above the heavens. Could it be, don't get weird on me, okay? Could it be that once the scientists get to the end of the universe, they're just going to find water? Oh! That sounds cool, but I don't think so. Because this brings us back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, where it talks about the waters and that God then separated the waters. And he put the, I'll read it. You guys got me all excited about Genesis 1:7. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. The firmament is the atmosphere. It actually speaks of an arc around the planet. And so this whole planet was a big blue ball of water, and then God separated the waters and put it up around the earth. And then, of course, at the time of the flood, that canopy of water, so to speak, then was burst and all the water came down. And so if you put that together with what we have here in verse 4, you waters above the heavens simply means clouds. So there. I was feeling great about it, you know? Think about all the water out there beyond the universe. I think this just means the water above the earth, the clouds. And that's good. So, praise him, you heaven of heavens. Anything, and so do you notice something? Verse 1 through 4. Anything above us, all of this creation above us and out there, as far as you can imagine, it makes sense that they praise the Lord. Which, by the way, all of such things also lead me to Romans chapter 1, where we know that God has given us creation, and that creation speaks of a creator. And you cannot look at the sky, look at even the circuit of the weather patterns and all such. You cannot look at any part of creation and say this all happened by mistake. I say you can't, but boy, we got a whole world of people now that are determined to say there was no creator. But hey, let them praise the name of the Lord. Okay, by the way, here it is, verses 1 through 4. Let everything in heaven praise the Lord. Verse 5 and 6, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. So it gives us a reason, always given a reason to praise. The first reason that we praise the Lord, or the first reason that even the sun and the moon would praise the Lord, is because God spoke them into existence. That is how much greater he is than them. And so we praise the Lord because he spoke man into existence. And so we have been created by the Lord, and so it only makes sense that we praise him. And he also established them forever and ever. That's talking about the moon and the stars and all of that. And even though we're going to see a third of them fall in the time of Revelation, we're going to see a big mess out there, and the sun and the moon, they lose their light and such, but we're going to see a new earth and a new heaven that will last forevermore. But God placed them there, and he decides when they go, when they stay. All right, so there it is. Genesis 1:1 again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth, now beginning in verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth. Back to verse 1. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Get it? See, there it is. Now down to verse 7. So it's praise from heaven, now praise from the earth. You great sea creatures in all the depths. And so everything in the ocean, praise the Lord. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. All weather events, praise the Lord. mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. That would be all nature. Praise the Lord. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. That would be all the birds, mammals, all the things wandering around the earth. This is very simple. He's just making a list of everything that we see that's living on this planet. And so I just noticed beasts and all cattle. Does that mean cattle are not beasts? But horses are, you know, domesticated too. He doesn't say, you know, beasts and horses and cattle. I don't know. We're going to figure this out. I love cows. Anyway, they all worship the Lord. Now, you might say, or no, I might say, do cows really worship the Lord? Do they really worship the Lord? I have two thoughts here. Number one, they're just too busy being cows. You know what I mean? They're just saying, I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat. Leave me alone. But the other side of that is, how do you know what they're thinking? You don't know. Maybe they're just thinking, God's awesome. Look, I got more grass. We don't know. But the point is not whether they worship the Lord. The point is that we are all in subjection to God Almighty. That's the point. He is above all. And it only makes sense that we praise the Lord. And so now that we've gone through all of the beasts of the sea and of the earth and the mountains and such, now we get to the peoples, verse 11, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both men and maidens, old men and children. Kings, he starts with the highest of all humans. And I think it's important because if a king, somebody who is on any type of a throne, be it a president, a king, or prime minister, or all the different positions of authority. Remember that all creation understands that God is the Lord. And I don't care how important a king thinks he is or how much power he thinks he has. The Bible is clear. All kings must praise the Lord. And we see the people from the top to the very bottom, both young men and maidens, old men and children, from the highest to the lowest, we must all praise the Lord for the same reason everything else we have read must praise the Lord, for He commanded and they are created. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. You know what, Mark? I think that we should, I gave you a bunch of songs in a list there. I think we should also do There Is None Like You. I hope I remember the words to that because I don't have them with me. But we should do that song tonight. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. Remember, the name of the Lord doesn't speak of the sound of His name or the spelling of His name, His name being articulated in any way. But His name always speaks of what? His character. And this is why we praise the Lord. His character alone is exalted. There is none, I just talked about it with the song, there is none like Him. There is no other God ever created by man that can even come near matching the glory of our Creator. He is perfect in every way. He is perfect in love. He is a standard that even as an unbelievers understand that there is some righteous standard out there that no human being has ever achieved. Only God is like that. Only God is perfect in beauty, perfect in love, perfect in grace, in mercy, perfect in judgment, perfect in his assessment of all things. And he's creative as anything. I can listen to a classical piece of music and I'm just like in awe that this composer was able to take those notes and arrange them in a manner that would bring about such emotion. And where I'm losing it. When you think about it, that's nothing compared to the creative ability of God. Those who paint, those who, you know, are just artistic people, creative people, we think it's pretty cool that they can do that. But God, imagine God as the creator. Let me think. I know. Let's make a universe. And we'll put planets. And I'm going to suspend them. And they're going to keep their orbits and all their circuits perfectly so that when this one little blue ball I'm going to call Earth, I'll put it right here so that when they look up in the sky, it looks like a Big Dipper. Everywhere, no matter what side of the planet they're on. And it will always be in the right place. That's pretty cool. I'll make people. They're going to need an engine. So, heart, kidneys, because you have to filter stuff. Oh, better put a liver in there. Eyes, so that they can see. We'll put little cameras in each one of them. Think about this. This is we are an intricate unity. Each one of us. In that God made each person out of so much detail of every different part working together to make you a human being. And then give you a brain, give you a mind that can think, that can discern, that can create. That's pretty good. And he made giraffes. He made a giraffe. You couldn't have made that up. I'm gonna make one with a big, giant, long neck and a tongue almost as long as his neck, so he can clean his ears. And what should his body look like? Puffed wheat. I'm gonna make him look like puffed wheat. Okay, that's just a giraffe. But he made all the animals, and they're different. And then according to species. This is amazing. He created them and he did it with a word. His character, his name alone is exalted. Face it, he's bigger than us. By the way, I can't stop thinking about Job. I finished reading Job a few days ago. And I never get over, I can never get over that section when God finally shows up and tells Job, all right, Job, listen up, I'm talking now, right? And he asks the questions, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? And God goes through all of creation and everything that he does and how he has his hand in it, how he makes sure that the ocean doesn't go any farther than it's going and how, you know, all of these things. But one of the things that I love so much about it is when he brings up Leviathan. Now, Leviathan is either some sort of a dinosaur, or it sounds like it could be. No, it was a dinosaur. It had to be. It was like a crocodile, big, huge thing. And God says to Job, Yeah, nobody even messes with Leviathan, right? Because the minute you poke on him, he's going to eat you alive. He will destroy you. He's big. He's scary. No one can tame Leviathan. And so you're reading that saying, okay, God, why are you telling Job this? Because the next thing God says, so if Leviathan is so big and powerful and you don't mess with him, why are you messing with me? You see, God's saying, I have created these incredible things, but as scary as Leviathan is, I tell you, I am much worse to deal with, much worse to come against than Leviathan. So whatever it is that God has created, whatever it is that God has done, he is greater. His glory is above the earth and heavens. His glory is above all of this. I used to think, I shared this with you recently, I believe. I used to think before I got saved that there's a God, but he's kind of like, he kind of hangs around our solar system. And there must be other gods and other things out there and everything. But when I got saved and I began to read the Bible, I began to understand something. Oh my goodness, God is bigger than I thought he was. And to this day, you know what I think? This is a weird thought. This is circular algebra. This is what I think. I think God is bigger than I think he is right now. See what I mean by circular algebra? He's bigger than any of us believe he is. We can't fathom it. We can't see it. Which all of this makes God's grace even more amazing. Way more amazing. So we worship him because his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the heavens. And he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. And this is where, as we learned last psalm, you know, the Israelites saying, and he chose us. What's that? But when you talk about the horn, it always speaks of strength. And that God, who is exalted above all things, has reached down to Israel and exalted them, lifted them up. You know, James chapter 4, verse 10, right? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And to be a man or a woman of God, the one thing you got to do is come to grips with the fact that he is way bigger and that you are way, way small. But once we have humbled ourselves to that place and understand that deep in our hearts, what does he do? He looks at this, these people, these weak people that we are, and he strengthens us, he lifts us up, and he turns us into something. That's another really good reason to praise him. And that we would be people that are near to him. Just, you know, look down at Psalm 149 down to verse 4, if you would. It says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. That's you and me. He's beautifying us. This God who is greater than all the heavens. And so we praise him. We honor him, and we're going to sing to him tonight. We're going to sing his praises just because it makes sense, because we ought to, because we are commanded to. And as we remember from the last psalm, and praise is beautiful. It's pleasant and it's beautiful. Father, we do thank you, and it is amazing how great you are, how creative you are, how loving you are, and how beautiful you are. And we want to give you all the glory tonight, to look upon you the best we can, as you would even look upon us, It's just amazing that a God so big as you, Lord, would know the number of hairs on our head. That is amazing, Lord. Thank you. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.